Good morning, all you beautiful people. So happy to see you here today. There's a tug of war that is always going on in the Gospels. It's always Jesus trying to challenge us to see with the eyes of God. It's turning the world's way of looking at life upside down so that we see it from God's perspective. And that's today what we're going to hear in the gospel when we are challenged to understand what God considers blessed versus what we might consider blessed.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came down with the 12 apostles and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. O God, who alone can satisfy our deepest hungers, protect us from the lure of wealth and power. Move our hearts to seek first your kingdom, that ours may be the security and joy of those who place their trust in you. We make our prayer through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Which would you rather be? Happy or sad? Satisfied or hungry? Liked or hated? Rich or poor? For most people, these are easy choices, aren't they? We call ourselves fortunate or blessed if we've been happy, satisfied, well-liked, and well-off in life. I've always considered myself blessed, from my earliest days, in fact. But as I've grown older, I've learned about some of the perils that come with good fortune and about the need to constantly reorient my heart to God. Among the many blessings I experienced as a child was that I was born into a family of means and that I was raised by parents who loved to travel. My family wasn't poor, not even by American standards. We lived a very comfortable life, and I never lacked for what I needed. And because my family believed that travel was an essential part of one's education, and because my father loves the country of Mexico, my parents took my sister and me there about 15 times before I even turned 15 years old. I visited everything from the mega metropolis of Mexico City to tiny villages where I'm pretty sure that the predominant language was a native dialect instead of Spanish. My aunt on my mother's side married a Guatemalan, so from time to time we also went to Guatemala to visit the relatives. In fact, I spent the summer there when I was 17 in order to perfect my Spanish and traveled over much of the country. These travels provided me with an incredibly valuable education. And one of the things I learned from my travels was what real poverty really looks like. I've seen poverty in this country. Many of us have, right? But I saw some kinds of poverty in Mexico and Central America that went beyond any that I've seen in this country. Young kids, barefoot and filthy, foraging for scraps of food in the trash behind a local cantina. Blind men and amputees with dirty rags wrapped around their stumps begging at the entrance to the outdoor market. Mothers with babies swaddled against their chests by threadbare sarapes, pushing their children out, their young, young children out, to sell penny chicles, gum, to the rich Americanos outside the tourist attractions. Vaya, vaya, go, go, they hissed at their little ones, who had crusted snot on their dirty faces, trying to make sure that their child would be the one to get to the tourists first and make the sale. They needed those pennies to buy tortillas and beans so that at least some of the family could eat that night. These are the kind of poor that Jesus is speaking about in his Sermon on the Plain, the Beatitudes from Luke's Gospel that we heard today. Blessed are you who are poor, Jesus says to his disciples. And the word in Greek that's used here, which is translated as poor, actually refers to a specific kind of poverty, extreme poverty. It means those who are destitute, lowly, afflicted, reduced to begging, those with virtually nothing. Blessed are you who are hungry now, he says. You who go to bed night after night with a gnawing emptiness in your belly because there weren't enough tortillas for you to have one after you fed all your children. Blessed are you who weep now, he says. You who have lost children to disease or a husband to an accident in the fields or a bar fight or to the gangs. This is not a world you and I know. We're more familiar with what comes next. Woe to you who are rich, who are full now, who are laughing now, says Jesus. We're the wealthy, the ones who have plenty of what we need. We're comfortable. The destitute, the hungry, and those suffering loss find their only comfort in God, in the promise of God's heavenly kingdom. It's not that God loves poverty and suffering, you see. That's not why God blesses the destitute and the beggars. You and I are not rebuked for our wealth and our comfort because comfort is bad. But comfort in this life is seductive. Wealth, social status, power, and being well thought of are seductive. These things can lure us away from God. Now, you may have noticed that these Beatitudes sound a little different than the ones in Matthew's Gospel, where the sermon is on the mount instead of the plain. Those are the Beatitudes that we're used to. And in Matthew's Beatitude, there are 9 blessings. In Luke, there are 4 blessings and 4 woes paired with those blessings. Matthew's interpretation of Jesus' blessing of the poor and hungry is that it proclaims fortune on those who are poor in spirit and those who hunger for righteousness. But Luke has a different take on these words of Jesus. Now, allow me, if you will, to take you back to the very beginning of Luke's gospel, where he's written a sort of dedication of his gospel to one whom he calls Most Excellent Theophilus. His reason for writing the gospel, he tells Theophilus, is so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you've been instructed. In fact, we have no idea who Theophilus was. However, by addressing him as most excellent, Luke seems to signal that Theophilus was someone of some standing, perhaps a wealthy or influential man. Whoever he actually was, This Theophilus, this person seeking the truth about the good news of Jesus Christ, a potential disciple, one might say, was the audience for Luke's gospel. And in this Sermon on the Plain, Jesus speaks about discipleship. He looks up at his disciples and speaks directly to them. And in doing so, Luke has him speak to Theophilus and to all of us who are Theophilus in this world. God demands everything from us, Jesus says, and we must be willing to give up everything for him. We can't split our loyalties between God and the comforts of this world. Because as Jesus says later in Luke's gospel, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The destitute, Jesus points out, already have nothing but God, and their blessing lies in the fact that God is their only treasure. For the rest of us, the path of discipleship holds more potential pitfalls. We're distracted by our wealth and our comforts. We're reluctant to give them up. How many of us can say that we'd be willing to give up everything for God? Our homes, our money, our clothes, our daily food. Francis of Assisi did. A few others have. But most of us can't bring ourselves to give that much up. Our hearts lie to some extent or another with the treasures we have, the comforts we have, the things we think we need, but we don't trust God to provide. Now, I'm as guilty of this as anyone. I'd like to think that I would happily do without my many comforts in order to follow Jesus Christ, but I can't honestly say that I would. To tell the truth, I've never really seriously thought about actually giving them up. It's a thought that's pretty easy to avoid. Now, this isn't to say that all is lost. In fact, don't think for a second that these woes are some kind of eternal denouncement, some evidence that we're unredeemable. I don't think Jesus meant them that way at all. At worst, I believe we're to see them as warnings. But taken together, the blessings and woes that Jesus pairs are really a path that Jesus lays out toward discipleship, aren't they? Don't be caught up in having people speak well of you, Jesus says. That takes you away from God. Instead, seek God's kingdom of love, mercy, and grace for all, even if people revile you, hate you, exclude you, and speak badly of you because of it. Because that strips away all the unnecessary things of this world and brings you closer to me. Don't seek the comforts of this world, material things, pleasure, security. If you find yourself dependent upon them and thus unable to follow me, be willing to break out of your comfort zone. Challenge yourself to do the things that cause you discomfort, but that help to fulfill all that I've commanded you to do. Love your neighbor as yourself, even if there's a cost to you. Love God and all that he's created, even when it's not easy. The destitute, the hungry, the sorrowful, and the reviled have no choice, Jesus reminds us. Their reward awaits them in heaven because they've already paid the price. God sees their pain and suffering, and in turn, they see God. But those of us who have much in this life do have a choice. We can choose to find our treasure in God and be willing to give up whatever is required of us to be followers of Christ, or in our hearts, we can cling to the earthly comforts we know and rationalize our reluctance to follow Jesus wholeheartedly when the path gets too difficult. Jesus wants nothing more than for us to choose God and abide in the knowledge that he holds us in his everlasting love, no matter what the world might do to us. God's love is persistent, unconditional, and eternal. And blessed are those who can recognize and hold on to that truth regardless of what the world throws at them. The cost of discipleship can be high, Jesus tells his disciples, Theophilus and us, but the rewards are astounding. Christ calls us to follow him so that we can experience true life with God that is beyond any earthly comfort or pleasure. For us, if we orient our hearts to God and trust him to lead us safely along it, his blessings await us at the other end. Amen. And now let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.